Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Matt Will from the University of Indianapolis. I am president of the Rotary Club of Indianapolis, the host for today's event, and I'd like to welcome you to the first broadcast debate of the 2011 mayoral election season. As the club of record for Central Indiana, the Rotary Club of Indianapolis is honored to play host to this important civic event. It is my pleasure to introduce the two candidates as well as the moderator. Representing the Republican Party is Mayor Greg Ballard, and representing the Democratic Party is Melena Kennedy. At this time, please join me in welcoming the two candidates to the stage. At this time, I'd like to turn the microphone over to our debate moderator, a well-known columnist for the Indianapolis Star, Matt Tully. Matt, the mic is yours.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm very excited to hear what the candidates have to say and the first of four formal debates between them in the next month or so. I'll just go over the rules very quickly. There will be no questions from the live audience. The questions have been gathered by Rotarians in the month leading up to this debate and reviewed by club leadership. We'll start with a three-minute opening statement, which was decided by coin flip, and then we'll move into a series of questions, as many as we have time for. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer the question. We'll rotate the order in which they answer the questions. The second person answering each question can offer a rebuttal or answer the question itself. And we have a timekeeper. Those of you on the radio, listening on the radio, can't see the timekeeper, but they will let the candidates know when they have 30 seconds, 15 seconds, and when their time is up, and then it'll be my turn to get the hook out. So we'll start with an opening statement. Mayor Ballard is going first. Mayor Ballard.
All right. Thanks, Matt. First, I want to thank the Rotary for hosting this debate and also for everything that you do in our community. I think it's very, very special, as I'm sure you share those feelings. I'm really running for re-election because I'm really proud of the progress that we made, but we all know we still have more work to do to continue to move Indianapolis forward. But remember 4 years ago, our city faced many, many challenges, many serious challenges, skyrocketing property taxes, income tax increases, financial mismanagement, crumbling infrastructure, and rising crime. Remember how we all felt back 4 years ago? As a Marine, I got to work. I took on those challenges. I balanced the budget. I brought fiscal responsibility. And we've just reaffirmed our AAA bond ratings from all three rating agencies recently. I took control of the police department because the mayor should be in charge of public safety. When overall crime is down and violent crime is down. And despite the toughest national economy since the Great Depression, we had a record number of new job commitments in Indianapolis last year. People are still investing in Indianapolis at a record level. The past administration borrowed $500 million to buy the water company and then left it $900 million in debt. We negotiated with Citizens Energy to eliminate that debt. And through Rebuild Indy, we are strengthening our neighborhoods by investing over $400 million in long, long overdue streets, and sidewalks, alleys, bridges, and other infrastructure improvements. Rebuild Indy is also keeping thousands of people at work, and you can see it all around the city. We also brought sound management to our city's sewer system improvements. The past administration had racked up almost $300 million in cost overruns on their plan with the EPA mandate. We re-engineered that plan, we renegotiated with the EPA and the Department of Justice, and we saved the taxpayers, the ratepayers, I should say, $740 million on the previous plan. $740 million that we saved in our efforts to clean up the White River and improve the environment. We were the first of over 700 cities to do so, and now we are the national model. We are the national model, getting much national recognition. We've made so much progress, and we did it all while lowering taxes. We did all of this while your property taxes are down by a third on average, and we returned $6 million in income tax to you also. And I was one of only two mayors to publicly support property tax caps in this state. So we have managed through a very difficult economy, and we're getting national recognition. Forbes ranked us as the number one next big boom town in the Midwest. Wall Street Journal says we're one of the top seven hub cities for business startups. Newsweek says we're one of the top 10 cities most poised for economic recovery. Our vision is to make Indianapolis the best city in the Midwest, globally recognized, inclusive, where parents want to raise their children and companies want to do business and create jobs. And we're well on our way to doing just that.
Thank you, Mayor Ballard. And now for her opening statement, Mrs. Kennedy.
Thank you also to the Rotary for hosting today, and thanks for everyone for being here today on this very important opportunity to hear about our city. Our city faces some very significant challenges, challenges that require so much more than just trying hard. Over just the last few years, our city's lost over 30,000 jobs, and families are struggling. I talk to parents who are worried about their jobs. They're worried whether their kids can find jobs. And crime is up. Since 2007, aggravated assaults, like shootings on our trails, are up 10%. And families don't feel safe walking down the trails or dropping their kids at the bus stop. And finally, third, as crime statistics do go up, we have way too many kids who aren't graduating from our schools. We know that those challenges lead to higher crime, they lead to unemployment, and they lead to no future for our children. Jobs, crime, and education, they are all tied. And trying hard again isn't enough to deal with these significant challenges. We have to do better. Over the course of this debate, I'm going to talk about all three of these issues and many other challenges that our city faces. But in this opening, I want to talk about education, because I truly believe that's where it starts. Put simply, addressing these challenges starts in the classroom. As a young woman myself, I spent a lot of summers working in my family's restaurant, waiting tables. I did that to help pay for college. But when I look back and I think about it, I realize and I know that a strong public education is what made me sitting here today possible. And that a strong public education is the reason my husband Bob and I are small business owners. And the reason I am a former deputy mayor. We know that strong schools help prepare our kids to be ready for the workforce tomorrow so that our families can feel confidence and not anxiety about the future. We can't afford to sit on the sidelines when it comes to education. And we can't afford to wait till 6 weeks before an election to talk about education. We need to be working on education every single day. And that's why, as mayor, I'll fight to make sure that we give opportunities to all of our children to succeed. My Vision 2021 plan is a 10-year plan to invest in our children, in a generation of children, by investing in early childhood education and literacy. The number one issue I heard in the dozens and dozens of interviews I had with teachers and principals and superintendents about what is the biggest challenge our children face in the classroom. Now, some people wonder why I'm talking so much about education, or might even question, you know, whether the mayor really has any role. Well, I say that's the problem. We need to be engaged. Because jobs, crime, and education, they are all tied. And if we're serious about making positive impacts in our community on poverty, on crime, on economic development, on public education, and public health, we've got to start by improving the educational outcomes throughout our city.
Thank you,
Thank you.
The first question goes to Mayor Ballard. Mayor, considering that schools are governed by elected school boards, besides creating more charter schools, what else can and should the city do to improve public education in the city?
Well, there's a few things we can do, and we have been doing those things. We've been big supporters. We'll get to charter schools, too, because I think we should talk about that. Big supporters of a lot of efforts in the community. Social service agencies have been working with child care centers. We know that. Chamber has done a great job with Common Goal. We've been supporting that. One of our charter schools had a community coordinator. Those are tremendous efforts within our community right now in very, very difficult schools. In addition, I was a big proponent of the education reforms at the State House. I was a big proponent of the state intervention in schools that needed it. We all know that IPS has been doing some really good things in the city, but they're also struggling in some areas also. But on the most important education reforms in our state's history, my opponent was silent. I was not. On the state intervention for these schools that much needed, our children are not getting educated in these schools, my opponent was silent. I was very vocal about this. I've been talking to superintendents for 4 years now, and we all know this. I've been talking to all the high schools. In the first year I was the mayor, I've been to every high school in the city with the exception of about four or five. I've been engaged for a long time now in education, helping out within the jurisdictional authority. But we've also got a ways to go. We now have the opportunity, based on the state reforms and what we've been doing here lately, to become the education reform model in the nation. And we're heading toward that. That's why we just gave $2 million to the Mind Trust for this charter school incubator so that we can have more choices for our kids to go to school. That is an important piece of what we can do here in the city of Indianapolis to provide competition, more choice for our kids. We've been engaged for 4 years now. That's why we put that piece of legislation in the state law, that we could get back local control once the state has intervention. We will continue to do those sorts of things for the betterment of our children. We've been there for 4 years now.
Thank you, Mayor Ballard. Mrs. Kennedy?
Thank you. I'm a small business owner, a former deputy mayor, as I mentioned. I'm not an educator. So what I did on this campaign was go out and listen to those who spend every day in the classroom. I hosted dozens of roundtables with principals, with superintendents, with teachers to hear from them what's their number one challenge to kids succeeding. And it was overwhelming. Early childhood education and literacy at an early age so that kids can learn, that they can read what they're supposed to learn so they can graduate on time. And the numbers are astounding. We know that every $1 spent on early childhood education produces a $7 return to the community. We know that kids who don't graduate from high school are 8 times more likely to end up in jail, 8 times. And we know kids who have exposure to preschool and early childhood education are 4 times more likely to graduate from high school. So that's why I've put forth a very specific plan. There is something the mayor can do, and I've put forth a plan. My Vision 2021, which is a 10-year plan to invest in a generation of children to help make sure that we do have as many kids as possible graduating from high school so they can earn a living. I was out listening as a candidate. As mayor, you should be at the State House and engaged. One of the issues that happened at this past session was a decision by the state to take at least $20 million away from IPS, and there was no response and no comment from the mayor. And that's a concern because the mayor needs to be the champion of the public schools in Indianapolis. And that was one thing that happened this past session that did cause a challenge for our students. And we didn't hear anything. And the Indianapolis Star reported earlier this year that while under the last administration there were quarterly meetings with all of the superintendents and the mayor, that stopped and didn't start happening again until election year. We've got to have a mayor who's engaged all 4 years. As I said in my opening, this is the biggest issue our city faces. And if we want to look back 10 years from now, when we're 200 years old and we celebrate our bicentennial as a city, we need to have made the right decisions at this time to invest in our children. And I believe my 2021 vision does just that.
Thank you very much. The next question will start with Mrs. Kennedy. Do you favor the elimination of township government within the next 4 years? And please explain your answer.
I've thought a lot about this issue, and I can certainly see many sides to it. What I've observed over the last 8 years is that the highest leaders on both sides of the aisle, so the current governor, the current mayor, the former mayor on both sides of the aisle, have tried to eliminate township government without success and spent a lot of hours, a lot of lobbyist dollars, and a lot of time. And so what I'm going to do is focus on what can be done now to make more efficiencies when it comes to local government. And I'm going to put together a plan working with the existing structure to make sure we have more efficiency so we can actually do something. 8 years has gone by on both sides of the aisle not being able to accomplish this, and so I believe we ought to do something now under the structure that we have.
Thank you. Mayor Ballard?
Yeah, generally speaking, I would like to see a more reform in township government. There's no question about that. Would we like to eliminate it? Probably great parts of it. We have been consolidating fire departments from both administrations, and I think that needs to continue. I always talk about in the fire departments, I want consistency and training and standards so that the person next to you in an emergency, and a fire is a definition by emergency, that they know what the training, what the equipment is, what the routine is, the training that we're all going to. So I think that's important also. Can we do things more efficiently than township government? I think we generally can. I'd like to see more of that come to fruition. It's going to be difficult. I agree with my opponent on this. It's going to be difficult. The state has to get that. But generally speaking, I am for more elimination of township government because I believe we can do that at the city level and we can reduce the burden on taxpayers throughout the city if we continue to do that.
Thank you. The next question goes to Mayor Ballard. Cities around the country and the state are going to face major revenue shortfalls and budget deficits in the coming years. What will you do to eliminate those deficits and deal with the budget shortfalls?
Well, when we came into office, we faced a projected $170 million deficit in 2012. Not our numbers, their numbers. We started what I call emergency surgery immediately. We cut the budgets 5% other than public safety, and we have been doing that every year, 5% every year, and this year we had to do it 6%. So we have been doing that. All that said, you still have to get more efficient. We brought Six Sigma to the city of Indianapolis, a process improvement methodology that has never been done before here in the city, but it's had a dramatic effect. It also takes a lot of good people. No question about that. I've got a great team. I'm very honest about that. They've done great work. But the fact that we were able to save ratepayers $740 million, you will not have to pay that amount of money. And that also gives us consistency and predictability, so more businesses will move in to our city as a result of that, because they know the utilities are now stable. So we saved that amount on the ratepayers. We generate $400 million for infrastructure, so now we won't have to have that added to our tax burden at the same time. We've just been very creative in how we've been going about this. Your property taxes are down by a third. Your income taxes are down by $6 million annually. We're in a deep national recession, and yet I would contend that the services are better in the city of Indianapolis, because we've been doing good work for all of our citizens. We're looking at it creatively. We're looking at it with the customer service in mind. Just two great examples, or just things that we deal with every day, be the snow removal and the Mayor's Action Center have been much, much better in the last 3 to 4 years. So it may sound small, but those things make a difference at the right time. So that's what we've been doing, and we will continue to do that.
Thank you. Mrs. Kennedy?
Well, as you can imagine, there's lots of things to talk about when it comes to budgets and fiscal responsibility. Mayor Ballard talks a lot about inheriting a $170 million deficit. He also talks about earning a AAA bond rating, which he inherited. So it's probably appropriate to talk about inheriting that as well. But there are some facts about the $170 million deficit that are important to know. The former Republican county auditor had a lawsuit, it was well known with the state, regarding child welfare payments. And in 2007, before Mayor Ballard took office, that resulted in a settlement that would kick in while you became mayor, where the state actually took over those payments. Now, on Mayor Ballard's campaign in 2007, he made a promise to the voters, and people went to the polls and voted, in some cases, on this issue, to repeal the county option income tax, which he then kept in place and didn't repeal fully, as he promised to. Even after the state picked up that child welfare obligation, even after the state picked up the police pension obligation, the mayor continued to cash the checks on that tax increase after promising not to. So I think it's important to understand the facts on this one. There are many ways that the city can continue to provide more accountability, more transparency, and more efficiencies. And I'm going to use the introduced budget just this year that was presented as not cutting public safety and was presented as balanced. But just into one or two of the hearings on the budget, we find out that public safety is cut and the budget was not balanced. Pensions for our police officers were not fully funded in this last budget. The fire station at Keystone and 71st is not funded in this budget. So either public safety has been cut or the budget's not funded. There are a lot of ways we can see more efficiencies. In the public safety budget, for example, there's way too much money when it comes to leadership and administration. I've talked about that a lot. The new Department of Public Safety director's budget is very bloated.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question goes to Mrs. Kennedy. Do you consider panhandling, particularly downtown, a problem in the city? And what will you do to deal with it?
Panhandling is something that is an issue for our city, and we've got to face this challenge. Certainly as we rely on our convention business for visitors to come to Indianapolis and have a good experience. Putting tin boxes out on the streets is not a full solution. We need places to take people who are truly homeless, because in some cases that is the case, and in other cases there may be people who are taking advantage of the system. But we need places to send people. The Horizon House Day Room, for example, is a good option, but because they've received less funding over the last few years from the city, they now had to scale back some of the hours they have. We all know, and I know Mayor Ballard's been involved in this issue, there are some challenges with legalities, but we need to train our officers to understand the law and make sure that they can do what is possible to make sure that we have a downtown environment that's conducive and attractive for all our visitors. But it's got to be a solution that's more than just putting tin boxes out in the community, but also having places for people who are truly homeless to go and having access to ways to help get them out of the cycle of homelessness in this community.
Thank you. Mayor Ballard?
Yeah, just a couple of rebuttal points. The child welfare was going to be picked up in 91 counties and not Marion County, and we got that picked up. through our efforts. And also, we got the public safety pensions picked up when no other mayor in the past had been able to get that picked up. So let's be fair about that. Also, the pensions were fully funded in this budget. The sheriff asked for the wrong number, and then he said he didn't have enough. So that's what really happened in those cases. Now, for the panhandlers, most people do know that most of the panhandlers are not homeless. I'm assuming most of you know that. It's a very difficult situation, given the rights that they have. We have been working with the homeless and with CHIP for a long time and the homeless shelters for a long time now to make sure that there's adequate room for everybody who needs it, particularly during the winter, and we've been doing that. I work very closely. Salvation Army and Wheelers are two places that I visit rather routinely, and they know that. And so I'm trying to keep a handle on that and to make sure that everybody has what they need. But panhandling is a difficult issue. We passed another law to make sure they can only be in certain places and that they could not disrupt traffic. But at the same time, this ultimately comes down to the First Amendment, and we've been trying, looking at the best practices across the cities, what we can do to get them off of the street, if you will. And we've been very aggressive about it, but sometimes the rights come into play. Just no question about that. And the boxes were there as an effort to help. They did help. They do raise money for the homeless. But it's a difficult issue, and enforcement needs to continue throughout the city of Indianapolis on this. But let's not go from panhandling to homeless and think we're not taking care of the homeless population, because we truly are.
Thank you. The next question goes to Mayor Ballard. Mayor, what do you consider the biggest public safety problem in the city, and how will you address it over the next 4 years?
Well, I think there's many public safety problems in the city. We have to acknowledge that, I tell people all the time, I never say greatest, best, worst, those sorts of things. You have to look at these holistically. But I will tell you, the gang issue right now combined with the drugs issue is very, very difficult for the city of Indianapolis right now. No question about that. Our task forces are working more closely than ever. The ATF has been working closely with us and DEA. Those sorts of relationships are in place, and we must continue. We've also got a great relationship with the ministerial groups like the 10-Point Coalition, who do great work on the streets of Indianapolis. We cannot overestimate how important that is to the city of Indianapolis. I'm not sure if everybody knows about them, but they do great work. In addition, our relationships within the community continue to be strengthened, and that's very important also, to make sure that our police department has good relationships within the neighborhoods, within the Crime Watch, within the neighborhood associations is very, very important to all of us. There's a lot of effort going on in this regard, and that's why you see things why crime is being reduced. If you take one stat like aggravated assault and say crime is up, that doesn't make a lot of sense. We all know the UCR data, the Uniform Crime Report data, that is verified by the FBI. The overall crime is down. That's verified. The criminal homicide rate numbers for the last 5 years are these: 140, 114, 114, 100, 93. That's going in the right direction. So there's been a lot of effort in that regard. And we want people to understand that what we've been trying to do, and my opponent will criticize zone policing here in a second, but that is essentially putting resources into the hotspots where we need them. And that's what we've been trying to do also, to make sure we get the proper amount of resources in the proper places to reduce that amount of crime.
Thank you. Mrs. Kennedy?
Well, there are a lot of challenges, as I talked about in my opening, when it comes to crime in this city, many challenges. And aggravated assault is a key indicator. Criminal justice experts will say one of the key indicators for whether people actually feel safe in our city. So that's why that's a very relevant statistic. Aggravated assault's like a shooting on a trail in the middle of the day. We have many challenges. One of the greatest challenges we face is illegal guns on our streets. And I propose that we work with 500 other mayors across the city, across the country, Republicans and Democrats alike, started by Mayor Bloomberg in New York City, and joined the Mayor's Alliance Against Illegal Guns. And Mayor Ballard said no to that, and that's unfortunate, because illegal guns and getting them off the hands of out of the hands of criminals and off our streets is a huge thing the city needs to start doing. Secondly, having a community policing strategy that really commits to community policing. This is something that's been done in other cities and other under administrations successfully, and it's the cornerstone of my plan to address crime. I spent a number of hours out on ride-alongs with officers, talking to officers, and I put forth my crime plan after that. That puts 100 officers back on the streets in a revenue-neutral way to support community policing, so neighbors know their officers and officers know their neighbors. by reducing the bureaucracy at the upper level in the administration, and by making sure that we are addressing crime prevention and other things that are key for solving crime in a community. I'm proud to have my crime plan endorsed by both the sheriff and the prosecutor who stood with me when I released my crime plan, and I'm proud to have earned the endorsement of the Fraternal Order of Police, who dropped their endorsement of my opponent. We need to address crime in this city. We can't hide our head in the sand. And we need to be transparent when it comes to the numbers. We are the only city of our size this year that didn't report our crime stats to the FBI. That's not transparent. And when it comes to making jobs and public safety job one, not providing our numbers to the FBI is not taking that issue very seriously, at least in my view.
Thank you very much. The next question goes to Mrs. Kennedy. What is your plan to address the city's infrastructure needs over the next 4 years?
Our city has a number of infrastructure needs, and they come in all kinds of capacities. I've proposed that now that the water company sale has been executed, that we use most of the dollars, as Mayor Ballard has suggested, for infrastructure. I've proposed two-thirds. But I want to see those dollars used more efficiently and more smart. We shouldn't see roads torn up two and three times within a short period of time after they've already been paved. That's not a good use of money. And I know many of you, I know myself, have driven down many roads where exactly that has just happened. These are one-time dollars that need to be used efficiently. Secondly, we need to invest in mass transit. And that will be the next major way I believe our city can make a huge investment in infrastructure. But that's going to take some time, and it's going to take a plan that doesn't keep changing every month, which is what has been happening over the last few months, at least in my view. And I think those are two of the huge issues that our city faces where we can and need to make an infrastructure investment, and I fully support.
Thank you. Mayor Ballard?
Yeah, just a couple of rebuttal points. Every city does community policing, and we do too. As far as the FOP endorsement, we have been raising the standards in the police department. And the police know that, and most of them appreciate that fact. And if it costs me a political endorsement to raise the standards in the police department, so be it. Infrastructure needs to continue throughout our city. The reason we're doing the infrastructure at the level that we're doing at is because of the mayor's night out. We've had 43 mayor's night outs. This is what people talk about all the time. Streets, sidewalks, bridges, alleys. We're doing it at a level that's never been seen before, and I will tell you, you'll never see it again in your lifetime. Give you an order of magnitude. We usually do 2 to 3 bridges a year. We're doing 27 bridges this year. Safety factor. When you look at what's going on, especially with sidewalks, sidewalks are a huge quality of life issue in our city. When we have people on walkers on Michigan Road on the northwest side of town, next to cars going 50 miles an hour, that's a quality of life issue. And we need to get sidewalks up there. And that's what we've been doing. So the people clearly want the vast majority of these proceeds to go to the infrastructure needs that we are addressing. And we will continue to do that, because that's what really needs to be done in this city. We can talk about mass transit. I'm assuming there's a question coming in that regard also. But the streets and the sidewalks and the bridges and alleys and tearing down these unsalvageable abandoned homes are strictly a quality of life issue in the neighborhoods, and every neighborhood association president would tell you exactly the same thing.
Thank you. The next question goes to Mayor Ballard, and you were right. What will you do to improve the mass transit system in the city over the next 4 years, and would you support a tax increase to expand and improve the system?
I initiated IndyConnect, and it's not changing every couple months, as my opponent says. We've been, you know, the reason I did what I did is, you know, after 18 years, and I know there were good people doing good things, but after 18 years, the normal process wasn't getting us there. It just wasn't. And again, going to Mayor's Night Out, that's one of the things that people talked about all the time. Mass transit, enhanced mass transit. So I went to the business community, and I said, we have to do something. We're not going to get there in our lifetime, is essentially what I told them. And that's why how IndyConnect started. And there was an initial plan, you got public input, a second plan was put together, they're getting public input now, and then there will be a final plan. And that's how IndyConnect came to be, because I thought the region needed to decide, do we want enhanced mass transit? Now, there has to be a return on it. I, along with the IndyConnect folks, along with the state legislature, all agree there has to be a return on investment. We just can't do it for traffic mitigation or other reasons. And so I made sure that IndyConnect did it just like that. and you'll see the plan when it comes out. They'll have no one will support it. All three of those people that I've talked about will not support it unless there is a rate of return associated with it. But that's why I initiated IndyConnect, to get forward, because we needed a plan that we could rally around to see if we wanted to go forward with this county by county. And so I would support the referendum, if that's one of the questions. I would support the referendum from the people to decide. Get asked about the tax increase all the time, and that's fine. We do need a couple things from the State House: the ability to conduct the referendum, a governance change also. But when you ask me that question, you're also asking that question to the guy who found $740 million in rate savings and $400 million for infrastructure. There's creative ways of getting things done, and we'll continue to do that.
Thank you. Mrs. Kennedy?
Well, as I've said in some of my other comments, transit is a huge issue in this city. We're the 11th largest city, I think, now after the census, and we're probably, you know, more than 100th in transportation. So we need to make a real investment there. I've been patiently waiting to see IndyConnect's final plan, and it's been 4 years, so I'm continuing to anxiously await that. And I do also support the notion of having a referendum so people can decide whether or not they want to support transit. I think it's important. And I think the final plan needs to connect economic centers so that it is about moving people but also economic development, because transit absolutely is an economic development issue as well as a quality of life issue. So I'll continue to wait for the final plans. They have changed a few times, but I'm anxious to see what will it look like, what will be the impact be, what will it cost. And then we need to rally around getting people out to understand those things and share that vision and ask for a referendum so people can actually vote on what they see and whether they like it and whether they want to support it.
Thank you. The next question goes to Mrs. Kennedy. Given that unemployment is over 40% for African American youths and disproportionately high for adults, how do you plan to address this major economic and social problem?
One of the key cornerstones of my 2021 vision is investing in job training. One of the really sad ironies that our country faces, and our city also faces this, is that we have employers, even in this economy, in some cases, that are looking to hire. I've talked to them. They're looking to hire, and they sometimes can't fill jobs, even in this economy, because of a lack of a skill set in the community. And then we have families who are struggling, who want to put food on the table, who want a job, but they don't have the skills. So we need to focus on job training. And then we need to use data. We need to understand where the highest pockets of unemployment in our city lie, geographically, but also within different communities. And it is alarming, and it's concerning that we have that high unemployment in one of our communities within Indianapolis. And so we need to use the data, and we need to identify what is the skill set that's missing, and really invest in job training, so that we can both help our employers who want to grow in Indianapolis and provide more economic development, but also give opportunity to so many people who want a job and who need a job. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Ballard?
Yeah, that's a really terrific question. That's why we've quadrupled the investment in workforce development dollars over the last 3 years. We have programs out there like Youth Works Indy, which takes kids from difficult neighborhoods and gives them a skill set. Specifically in construction in that case. We've had kids go through, older kids, if you will, go through IT and life sciences programs with workforce development. So we address those needs pretty directly. Also an important part of this is the charter schools, expanding the charter school notion, and we've been able to do that in the city of Indianapolis. Expanded what people normally think of as what a charter school can be. We have in this city the Excel Center, which is a dropout recovery school, if you will, that takes 18 to 22-year-olds. That's the primary audience. There are older men and women in there. But they take 18 to 22-year-olds and give them a high school diploma. And they partner with the Ivy Tech to make sure that they can go forward even more so. It's on their schedule. The class is open, the school is open from 7 to 10 Monday through Saturday. So the men and women who use that can get their high school diploma and advance their education in that regard also. We've really expanded the notion that. That has been so successful that we are adding two more Excel centers in very difficult neighborhoods in the city of Indianapolis, so we are directly attacking that. Additionally, there will be one more on the southeast side of town called the Dropout Recovery School on the southeast side of town. We are attacking this problem head on in the most difficult areas of our city.
Thank you. The next question will start with Mayor Ballard. What is your position on using public funds to support private building projects?
I think that's almost standard, to be honest with you. I mean, public-private partnerships are standard in this city. Most of what we try to do in this city is to create some infrastructure capability for these private developments, and I think it helps with our tax base clearly as we go forward. It helps with our income tax base, it helps with our property tax base. If the city can come along and do infrastructure improvements to help companies improve their ability to employ people in the city of Indianapolis, then that's a good investment. We've done that on a number of with a number of companies. We try to help companies expand their operations here in the city of Indianapolis, a clear case being Rolls-Royce. When they moved into the Fair Center, we helped them out with some infrastructure needs in that regard. That now allows them to expand their employment at other bases that they have here in the city of Indianapolis. So this is a classic public-private partnership. We do this rather routinely. It's been done for decades here in the city of Indianapolis, and I think it should continue.
Thank you. Mrs. Kennedy?
Well, I disagree that it's standard or that that's classic, that it happens all the time. I think that does happen, and it should be done judiciously and should be done in a way that's creative so that the city receives a return. A good example, I worked on the Conrad development in downtown Indianapolis, something that was started by the former administration under the Goldsmith administration, and even before that under the HUDNUT administration when they were developing the downtown mall. But what we negotiated in that project was so that the city would have an upside if that project did well. And so for the first time, we negotiated a equity interest, so to speak, where now that that project is spinning off revenue to its private owners, it's also providing dollars to the city every year. Now, fast forward and look at what happened with the North of South project. Is it called City Way, I think, now? A project that, generally speaking, will be good for Indianapolis. But the way it was negotiated, when you read the project agreement, it leaves all the risk with the city. It provides a provision for the developer to cash out of the profitable portions and leave the failing portions behind. So a lot of times in these projects, while there are public-private partnerships that merit encouragement in this city, they've got to be negotiated in a way that protects the taxpayer dollars at its very best.
Thank you. I'll ask this question to Mrs. Kennedy first. What role, if any, do faith-based and not-for-profit organizations play in solving the city's problems?
Well, faith-based organizations, not-for-profits, play a huge role. I'm proud to say I've been involved in a number of organizations over the years, both when I was deputy mayor, but just also as a private resident here. Everything from domestic violence organizations to health organizations, Teach for America, education. These are all wonderful organizations that do great good in our city. And as mayor, I'd want to continue a relationship. In fact, when it comes to my 2021 vision, talking about early childhood education and literacy, I'm talking about investing in existing quality programs. There's so many initiatives that are out there today doing some good work, but they can't get to scale for profits for faith-based organizations and others to partner with the community, partner with the city, and do great things for our city.
Thank you. Mayor Ballard?
Yeah, if I could, a couple rebuttal points. The Conrad was good for the city other than the 10-year property tax abatements for the residents, which I don't think was appropriate. And the private dollars to public dollars under our administration has been much, much better. The return has been much, much better under our administration. Then the nonprofits and others working within our city, we can't do it without them. That's what makes Indianapolis so special. I tell people all the time, and people ask me all the time, what's the best part about being the mayor of Indianapolis? And I say the same thing every time. I get to see people doing good work on behalf of others more than anybody else. It's really special to see. It truly is. The nonprofits and faith-based organizations have been so strong in our city for so long, and they do so much work. And I get to see more of that than almost anybody else. There are people doing very, very difficult work under very difficult circumstances. I talked about the 10-Point Coalition before, who's out there on the street. When there's an incident on the street, they're out there preventing the retaliation along with the police. Most people don't know that, but I know that. You can talk about everything that all the agencies do and all the faith-based groups do, and I don't want to point out anybody in particular for fear of losing them, but there are individuals in this room that I'm looking at one right now who has done tremendous work individually. It's just amazing what happens in the city because of the character of the people in this city. I talk about all the time what makes Indianapolis special. When you go back 30 to 40 years, you know, we don't have oceans, we don't have mountains. What we have are people. And that's how we advance. And the faith-based groups and the nonprofit organizations play a critical role in who we are and how we've advanced as a city.
Thank you very much. This last question will be slightly expedited because of time. We'll start with Mayor Ballard. What is your mission statement for Indianapolis for the next 4 years?
I don't look at things over the next 4 years. I look at the city as 30 to 40 years. We've been trying to build that kind of city where parents want to raise their children, where companies want to do business and create jobs. I want to be globally recognized. I want us to be seen as an inclusive city. I've said pretty much the same thing since I've been the mayor, because I think that's extremely important. Creating the type of city where people want to move into is extremely important. If we're going to be competitive in 30 to 40 years, we have to build that type of city. That's one reason I created the Office of Sustainability. The city administration really had nothing like that before. But the young men and women who want to be a part of a good city are looking for those things, like the bike lanes and rain gardens and urban gardens and pervious pavement and all that that maybe you know about, maybe you don't, but they like that sort of activity, and that's what they're looking for. Companies are too. Being globally recognized is very important to us because this is a global economy. And frankly, no mayor has gotten out there and said that publicly because they're afraid to. But I've done it because I think it's important for the future of our city to understand that this is a global economy. So we must continue to create that type of city. The fiscal stability. No company is going to want to be in here if the city administration is not fiscally stable. We've done that. We've done that better than in such a long time. We must continue, even in a very difficult national economy. That's why there's been so much investment in our city. When you look at 16 Tech, and you look at Cityway, and you look at Eskenazi Health, and you look at the IU Health Neuroscience Center, and you look at the Marion University School of Medicine, people are investing in this city because they know it's stable. And they want to move to our city because of the type of city that we are creating.
Thank you. Mrs. Kennedy?
Well, when I think about our city, I want our city to be the place where all of our children, no matter who you are, have the opportunity to achieve their dreams right here and don't feel like they have to leave because they can't find a job or because they don't feel safe in their neighborhood, or because they can't get a good education. And so my vision, my 2021 vision, which is a 10-year vision, which invests in a generation of people and kids, addresses those issues by making sure that we're investing in early childhood education and literacy so that our children have opportunity to graduate and stay out of trouble and out of crime. Investing in crime prevention, which we know is important to keep some of those kids at a little bit later age falling from the cracks. And by investing in job training so that people who want a job, and so many do, are able to find the skills necessary to do that. And that's a 10-year vision, but it also applies in 4 years. And investing in education, in jobs, in safety, we will have a city where all of our children can achieve their dreams and do that right here, not anywhere else.
Thank you. That wraps up the debate portion of our program, and we're going to move into the closing statements. Each candidate will have 3 minutes to make their closing statement. By coin flip, this order was decided, and Mayor Ballard will go first.
Well, again, thanks for coming out here. I love coming into this room. I always think this is one of the great buildings in the city and really one of the great rooms in the city of Indianapolis. I always talk about our great rooms, and this is certainly one of them. But I'm just going to reiterate some points that I think we've probably gone over already. And just remember how you felt 4 years ago with the property tax fiasco that was going on at that time, and the financial mismanagement. One of the things we didn't talk about was the $98 million loan taken out at the end of 2005 to pay for 3 years of operating expenses. We will be paying for that $9 million a year until the year 2021. We don't do that sort of thing. That cannot happen again in the city of Indianapolis. It should not happen. Your property taxes have been cut on average by a third. Income taxes have been returned. We are living within our means, just like you have to live within your means. We brought fiscal responsibility back to the city of Indianapolis. Very difficult economy right now. She mentioned that we lost some jobs. It's a manufacturing area. We're going to lose some. but we created more jobs in 2010 than in 2002, 2003, 2004, and 2005 combined when she was the Deputy Mayor of Economic Development. That's an amazing stat in a very difficult economy. And there in that time frame, in a good economy, a good national economy, the city lost 15,000 jobs. Can't go back to those days. Just can't do it. There's a lot of investment around this city right now, and you can see it, and there's a reason for it. You can see what we're doing with Rebuild Indy. No one's addressed infrastructure on the scale that we have. Much needed in the city of Indianapolis. Go to any neighborhood, and they'll tell you the same thing. So critical. We are reforming the police department. We didn't get into talking about the personnel continuum, about the recruitment and the training and the promotions and the performance-based evaluations. We have to have those. Those have to stick. That's what high-performing organizations do. We will continue to raise the standards in the police department. Must be done. We can't go back to the way it used to be. We've made a lot of progress in the city. We're not done yet. There's more to go, no question about that. But we have to continue the progress. We can't go back to the failed policies of the past. We just can't do that. We need to look out long into the future, not the next 3 or 4 years, the next 30 to 40 years. I've always been talking about 30 to 40 years. What kind of city is this going to be in 30 to 40 years? And that's what we're doing. We're creating that type of city, and I'm proud to say we're well on our way to doing just that.
Thank you, Mayor. And now for the final closing statement, Mrs. Kennedy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I want to thank Rotary again and thank everyone for being here today. Thank you, Mayor Ballard, also for being here. I'd love more opportunity for rebuttal. We'll have to do this again. but I do want to close. I started by talking about education because I do believe it all starts in the classroom. But I want to close with what happens when kids are not in the classroom. And by that, I do mean crime. And crime is up when it comes to aggravated assaults by 10%. We know our families aren't feeling safe. And we know that people, I talk to people all the time who say, you know, I'm thinking about leaving my neighborhood because I don't feel safe. And our city's future depends on strong leadership on this issue. Not hiding from numbers, not reporting them to the FBI, and being the only city of our size not to do that, but taking on this issue and addressing it. My plan puts forth a very specific plan to address this issue that takes the fight to the criminals, that partners with the community. And I am proud that my plan was endorsed by the sheriff and the prosecutor. My plan puts 100 officers back on the streets so that we can return to community policing, where officers get to know their neighbors and neighbors get to know their officers. My plan addresses illegal guns and working on getting them out of the hands of criminals. And my plan addresses real, clear leadership in public safety so we know who's in charge and there's not so much confusion as we see today. We have got to address these challenges and not hide our head in the sand, because our city's future does depend on clear, strong leadership on these issues. And in a Kennedy administration, that's exactly what you'll get. I've counted almost a dozen times Mayor Ballard's talked about the former failed policies, doesn't mention all the things that he's inherited, the ribbons he's cut, the charter schools he's continued. That's not leadership. That's just complaining. And that's looking back. What we need is a leader who's going to look forward and do something about this. And that's exactly what you're going to get in a Kennedy administration. And I want to close by saying, to me, it's not just about numbers. It's not just about programs. It is very personal. Bob and I are the proud parents of twins, Marcus and Sophia, and we think about the future of this city every single day. And as a parent, there's nothing I wouldn't do to make this city better. And as a mayor, I'll do everything I can for your kids to make this a better city. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mayor Ballard and Mrs. Kennedy. I think you both answered every question that was asked of you, which is quite a feat in a debate. hopefully those of you in the audience and listening on the radio got a sense of where they stand on the issues, where they differ, and how they would lead the city of Indianapolis. The election's not too far away. We have a lot more to learn, but I think we learned a lot today, so thank you.